What a great pleasure to have a friend of WBGO, Newark's very own Savion Glover, the amazing, legendary tapper, choreographer, director, and actor, joining us here on the WBGO Journal to talk about his new innovative work. First of all, welcome back, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Doug. It's always a pleasure.
Savion Glover's new show is called A Lady Five at Savion Glover's Baroque Black Tap Cafe. And this is something that you took from an imaginary conversation with a fellow dancer who passed at a very young age of 40, Greg Birch. Tell us about Lady Five.
Lady Five. Well, to clear the air, Lady Five is us, or would be us, the company. So the title itself is, I guess, broken down into three parts. Lady Five, who or which are us. Lady Five at Savion Glover's Baroque Black Tap Cafe. So the Baroque aspect of the cafe is the test or the challenge at what we see. What we see, does what we see determine what we hear, or does what we hear determine what we see? I believe that we have these materialistic items or these masks that we have accessible to us. And once we put on this mask in our daily appearance, then that might suggest how we are approached and how we are heard before we actually use a tone or a vibration or a voice. So we, in the Baroque half of the cafe, we suggest a posture, if you will. And that posture comes with the clothing that we put on, and then we suggest a mood or a mode for that era, if you will, or for that music. And then we move into a more, what I would say, self-intelligent place of existence where we are less concerned about the outfit and more intuned with the inner self and the inner expression. So the posture becomes a little different. It's not as demand suggested. It is what we would, I guess, consider self-expression. So the music changes, the costumes, the outfit changes, but the one thing throughout the evening that is undeniable, and I would associate it with everyday life, is that thing that we hear that we don't see, which is that soul. Like, the undeniable truth in the evening here is that they're speaking a language through this dance, through this body movement that gets a reaction. But at the same time, you have all of these things going on that might lend to distraction. So that's basically the evening, and we produce that through dance. So it's a level of dance, posture, intelligence, and then me asking us, the audience, how do we see each other? Do we see each other by our outward appearance, or do we hear each other by our outward appearance?
Tell me why you were thinking about Greg Birch.
Greg Birch, I would consider one of my distant mentors. Distant meaning, you know, in that time I was in the Tap Dance Kid. People in the cast were people like Hinton Battle. You know, it's like Hinton Battle, Greg Birch, Michael Peters, those contributors of that time, which was like, you know, 80s, if not earlier, their contribution was significant to my role in the field of entertainment or that theater dance community. So I always, you know, along with my guys, along with Jimmy Slide and Gregory Hines and my mentors, my personal mentors, I have these figures that I walk with, I speak with, and I look to for guidance. Michael Peters and Greg Burge have been like just hovering over this concept. And I think it's because they were, in my opinion, they were introducing us, a generation, to a style of dance, a style of expression that was coming out of, you know, we had contemporary dancing, and then we had modern dancing, and then we have these labels. But when these guys did whatever they do, it's like you look at, you know, you look at Beat It, the video that Michael Peters choreographed, and it's not necessarily like pas de bourrée, batma. It's another kind of dance, another kind of body language being introduced to the dance world. So there was not time for Michael Peters' contribution to dance to get a label like hip hop dance or the hustle or, you know, the Patty Duke, or we didn't have time to label their contributions. So to me, that got lost. Their contributions kind of got lost in the field of body language. So I always hear them. I always hear them, and I always see their influence. So I had I sat down, like I do. I've had several conversations with people who are no longer here in the physical. John Coltrane being one of them. And I just speak to them through myself and ask for guidance. And my conversation with Burge led me to want to further explore this posture and this body language and this approach to dance.
Everyone's looking forward to the show, which has a run at the Joyce Theater from Tuesday, July 2nd through Saturday, July 7th. Now, it's an ensemble cast. You want to talk about those with you?
Wonderful, wonderful ensemble of dancers. Of course, I have one of my more trustworthy constituents, Mr. Marshall Davis Jr. And then I have four ladies who would represent, of course, another approach to body language: Monique Smith, Natria Blake, Sam Berger, and then there's Megan Jessner. And we also have a local partner here from New Jersey, Tap Ensemble, Jeffrey Foote. And yeah, man, we you know, they, I realize that what makes them great is that they trust me. You know, that makes them brilliant in my eyes, because it's beautiful to be able to call people who I can't do what they do, but I can do what they do in my head, and I can know what it's not, so that therefore I can tell them what it is. And they are excellent at producing images and visuals, but they trust, and I trust them to know that the stage is ours. There's a world of improvisation. There's a world of free spirit. There's a world of body language. And they are, they say, top-notch in their field at expression.
Now, you started off, obviously, you know, as an unbelievable tap dancer, hailed by the New York Times as the greatest tap dancer who has ever lived. But you've done so much since then as being a choreographer, a director, an actor. Has any of those surpassed physically dancing for you as far as your love?
No, because now I'm at the opportunity where I can exercise all of those personalities. Like I can bring my directorial into the choreography, and then vice versa. I go into these rooms with three heads. Now I can direct the thing, I can choreograph the thing, and then I can also be a part of it. So
it's pretty nice, huh?
Yeah, it just lends to a different kind of canvas, if you will.
The Joyce Theater, did anything go on that you wanted to perform the show here?
Hey man, I was like minding my own business. I had just celebrated my 45th birthday. I took a trip to Paris. I started listening to this music. I came back and they called me, and the Joyce called me and said, we have a opening. We have a week open. Do you want to fulfill? I said, sure. And that was basically my invitation and my reason to start then creating this project. And it just was coincidental that I had just started listening to that music again, and started to think about ideas, but I didn't know that it would manifest at the Joyce.
Do you think you'd ever like to have your own cafe?
Oh yeah. We had an attempt when we were here in Newark with the Hoofers Club School for Town.
Right, yeah.
We would have several cafe like settings there, but it's layered, man. My life is a cafe.
I get it.
Anything can happen.
You know, a lot of kids became connected with you, as you are well aware, when it came to the Happy Feet movies, Happy Feet and Happy Feet 2, and the wonderful connection that these young kids got about dance. Do you see that? Did that really have a change as far as tap, as far as dance, that more and more young people were drawn into this? Have you physically seen it now, years later?
Yes, sir. I've seen the resurgence, if you will, for dance, and I see it come and go. I've had an opportunity now, so I remember when I first started, there were rumors about, oh, tap dancing is a dying art form. What are we doing about tap? And then it was like popular. And then it became, again, you started to hear the rumors. Oh, what's happening with tap dance? Well, I think each generation shares its support, acknowledgement, and then what would be recognition for tap dancing. Tap dancing it's a part of our mystery. It's a part of our here. It's a part of our now. It's like painting. It's like ballet. It's like, radio personality. It's here. It's a part of a concept. So it will never sort of, be a dying art form. It is only as popular as one might choose to be interested in. But with today, I can use that word, like with my today, I have seen, with the popularity of the dance shows and just everything that is accessible that will allow one to be present, it's going on. The kids are doing it. The kids are doing it. I see the tools being used for tap dancing. So my only concern there in its popularity is that it doesn't become popular. There is a sacredness to some of these gifts and talents, so that therefore not everyone
can do it.
Can do it. I mean, we can do it because we have the limbs and the access to do it. But when we start to explore, the definition of what we do and how we or that affects the world? What are we really doing with our time and space here in the world? So through our gifts and through our talents, you know, after a while, if it doesn't matter if you're a chef, a construction worker, a doctor, or whatever, you have to exist in there. You have to, you, the person who you want to be, has to exist in there. Otherwise, I feel maybe that's not really for you. That's a job. That's fine. But some of us are here, I think, on, obligatory mission.
Can't we say art in general? Because anybody can get a book published. Anybody can get a record, you know, producing gig. You don't necessarily have to be good, is what I'm saying, to be able to be out there. But that doesn't help us as a consumer, does it?
No, I think you have to be convincing. It's like, how convinced might one be to believe that you are what you say you are? You know, it goes back to, you know, scripture. I was raised under my mother's fine tutelage. And, you know, moments like this allow me to refer to the scripture, which is like, you know, again, not to discredit anyone, but we are all here on that mission. And I think it's about finding what that is and then becoming it, you know.
It's hard to imagine. 35th year of show business, so much of it part of Broadway, but the Broadway musical that you were involved with, Shuffle Along, and you were recognized for your award-winning choreography. Shuffle Along, what did it mean to you for that run to take place?
That was one of the more favorable experiences in my life, Doug. To be able to, again, collaborate with an energy like George Wolfe, that's something that will, you know, I feel like I'm here again, being guided and just following God's plan. And Shuffle Along, the story, the energy behind it, was everything that has gotten me thus far. Everything about the recreation of the show, our version of, well, it wasn't a recreation. It was our take on all of the things that went into and then became from the original production, Shuffle Along. But, you know, to deal with life, you know, everything I've been a part of performance-wise it deals with real life issues, you know, even Happy Feet. You know, it's a cartoon, but that Mumble, that penguin, he was dealing with real life issues. So I'm happy to be a part of such progress, productions and pieces that move us, not just spiritually, but move us into our next mind state, into our next space of realization. So Shuffle Along definitely did that. As far as generation, it also gave this generation an opportunity to, again, learn about some history that wouldn't have necessarily been presented to them in a school or in any other show. So I'm happy. I'm really happy to, you know, collaborate with George, and then to also be a part of such great material.
We're speaking with Savion Glover here on the WBGO Journal. His new innovative work, Lady Five at Savion Glover's Baroque Black Tap Cafe, has a run at the Joyce Theater from July 2nd through July 7th. I want to know, after all these years, what it's like for this ensemble cast. How difficult are you to work with?
You can ask my press representative here. You know what, Doug? Because I am where I am in my life, it's not that I'm difficult, but I'm difficult because I'm difficult. I'm a young black male living in this America. You take it from there. So it's like everything I am, everything I exist as comes into my work. It comes into my existence. I don't even tell them what we're going to do because I know what we're going to do. I just don't know when it's going to happen. I'll tell someone, hey, I saw you last year dance somewhere. I want you to be in my show. I don't know what the show is, but I know there's a space for you. And they take that and they say, oh, I'm going to be in a show. I'm going to be in a show. Meanwhile, I'm like, okay, how can I use this person? I don't have a role. I don't have anything, but how can I use this person to express an idea? And because of my everyday nature, it bleeds into my work, which allows the work to be very improvisational. Of course, there is the content, there is the message, there is the theme, there is the goal. But how we get to that goal, I don't have all of the answers.
So would you call yourself a perfectionist, or you say you have that goal in mind? When is it that Savion says, yes, we got it?
I haven't said that yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't said that's it. I say we're scratching the surface. We're on the right path. We're on the right path because there's always more to the story. There's always more. We only run out of time because we only have 2 hours in the theater. You know, if we had more time, then we'd have more time, more space to explore. But trying to, you know, I don't have a choice but to bring real time onto the stage or into the pieces. So perfectionist, yes. I've never reached perfection, though. I'm searching for it. I don't want to reach it here, but I want to continue to know what this search for perfection feels like. What the heck am I searching for?
Now, dancers can connect with you more as far as understanding, but the average person who comes to see Lady Five at the Joyce Theater, what would be the comment that you would overhear, maybe as they're leaving, that would really put a smile on your face?
I think I said, that was different. We've never seen that from Savion. You know, I think there are moments when those words might be available to one. You know, I'm taking a, like I always do, I'm taking another risk with my appearance. There's a moment in the show where I present myself in a way that I have not been presented on stage or through dance. So this is like my coming out moment.
You're a risk taker all your life, pretty much, haven't you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I don't know what it is to not take a risk. That's what the stage is for. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to show people, well, it's only a risk because you've perceived it to be that, but really it's just free. It's free moment. It's I'm cool. I'm cool with whatever the outcome is going to be, as long as it's my true expression, as long as it is what it is.
I'm always fascinated when I speak to a creative genius, and it doesn't happen that often because there aren't many of you, Savion, out mm-hmm. there. So I know that you came up with this idea because of your conversation, your imaginary conversation with Greg Burge. But where, now you found out from the Joyce Theater, you've got a week. Yep, I'm going to do it. So where does it start? Where does the creative juices flow? Where is that point where you go, yeah, this is what I want to do?
every day, man. It's like, again, like I have the concept, I have the goal, but I don't know how to get there until we start to navigate and figure it out. You know, Marshall, who's in the show, we've been hanging out for years now, and he's told the company, you're going to get it on the last day, on the last show, because every show is going to be different due to the improvisational space available. But it's like, I think for the company, they will better understand the vision, I think, once they experience themselves in it, once they take a look at the production and see themselves in it, then they might have a different perspective. But it just continues. It just continues. That's the joy of having the opportunity to create. Creation, again, like I said, it only stops because we got kicked out of the rehearsal room or the time was, you know, had ran out. But it's ongoing. It's ongoing.
I know you have many interests, and I remember you were one of my first guests on Sports Jam, and we went next door to the New Jersey Historical Society. You did this wonderful performance of how Michael Jordan would be coming down the court. You just did it right off the top of your head. That was really amazing. Dance never happened for Savion Glover. What would you be doing?
I would be sitting here talking to you about my four championships that I won for the Knicks.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, if that was the case, a lot of people maybe didn't want you to go into dance. Right? They would have wished that didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, it was Ron Cicely. It was that whole Derek Coleman. It was that whole Syracuse era when, like, Derek Coleman, Ron Cicely, I think it was like Sherman Douglas. I thought we were going to be like the best thing happening, you know, as far as sports. And I was gearing up to come off the bench, man. you know,
I would just love to see you in full stride coming down, and I don't think there could be any kind of trapping defense that could stop Savion Glover on the hardwood. I would just love to see it.
Tell that to my homies up at Avon Avenue.
Lady 5 at Savion Glover's Baroque Black Tap Cafe. We're looking forward to this performance with a run at the Joyce Theater from Tuesday, July 2nd through Saturday, July 7th. The incredible Savion Glover. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Doug. Peace.